Hello and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I am your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? How is it? It's the last show of the decade because we're playing that tropes. This week we got a show. What will it be? Mostly Black Bear stuff because they're the only team that's been playing. So we'll talk about them, their weekend that they had, and then we'll go through some stats. We'll make this a stats class. It'll be a good time. Take some notes, and then we'll move on with our lives. Be a great time. Like I said, last show of the decade slash year. I will be taking next week off because there is no hockey to be spoken about. And I'll be packing to go back home to Maryland, where it's going to be a huge hockey weekend. Both Black Bear games, Friday, Saturday night. We're going to jet up to Stevenson Saturday afternoon to watch the Stevenson D3 team play. We're going to jet up to Hershey to watch the Hershey Bears play. Has nothing to do with Maryland. I just like going to Hershey. And then we're going to try to hit every possible place we can try to get to in the scant time that we have in Maryland, myself and Gen HL History Girl. So we will have a time with that. So, yeah, I'm prepared. I'm ready to go. Hopefully you guys have a good holiday season in the stead. And hopefully you guys, you spend times with the ones you love and then kind of avoid the ones you don't. And, you know, your mental health is a big thing, so keep that in mind, everybody. So, with that disclaimer out of the way, let's get ourselves to some Maryland Black Bears action. And, oh, doctor, did the Maryland Black Bears just decide to, you know what? They decided to make sure they ended this year with a bang, decided to clean up a little bit, broke out the brooms. Second straight weekend they cleaned house. With a full slate of points coming home as the Black Bears swept the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Knights. 3-0 Friday, 5-1 on Saturday, when Saturday divulged into just bedlam because the NHL referees don't know what the hell they're doing. Start off with Friday, though. It started off very interesting. The Black Bears did get pretty much control the entire game offensively. Didn't have much to show for it in the first period there. But it wasn't until the second period, because obviously the first period didn't show much. Second period, they get boom, boom goals 19 seconds apart from each other. First, Aiden Bruich, his eighth of the year from Reed Leibold and Jude Curtis. And then on a beautiful play by Bruich, by the way. Leibold pretty much made the play. Bruich tapped it in. Leibold had himself a weekend. Ethan Heideprim had himself a weekend, too. His fourth of the season was a beauty. Goes in forehand, backhand, goal light, and it was just fantastic. And understated on that play is Philip Jakobsen's ability to kind of hold the puck there at the blue line, gain the line, wait for Heideprim to continue his streak down there, hit him on the streak, and then boom, 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 we got ourselves a 2-0 game. Maryland held serve and just continued putting the pressure on. They had 42 shots as a whole in this entire game, holding Wilkes-Barre Scranton to 20. Late in the third period, Braden Stannard, backhand beauty, eighth of the year. Jackson Stannard on the assist, and that's all she wrote for the Black Bears, winning 3-Cobb, 20 saves for Cooper Black, his first NHL shutout and the first shutout of the year for your Maryland Black Bears. A great game all around, I think, when you look at it. They were able to, you know, put pressure on offensively, kind of stay cleaned up in their zone, not letting a lot of shots on, not letting a lot of rebounds in. One, the real big threat, I would have to say, and if memory serves from this game, is the puck that went off the stanchion after the Bruich goal. Went off the stanchion, and luckily Cooper Black's like 7 feet tall. And he hit the toe out to save the puck that just weird off the stanchion, go towards the net. And if that goes in, Johnny P said that's a completely different game. But it wasn't. Didn't go in, and that's all she wrote for that one. Saturday's game was a bit of a cluster truck in that the game got away from the referees Friday night. And then it continued into Saturday. And I'm not saying this just because of the garbage that went to both sides. On both sides of the puck, they lost the plot early in this game and often. They had a 4-ref system this weekend too, and they still couldn't figure it out. Go back to the 3-ref system. Those guys knew what they were doing then. I hate to disparage Ref because a lot of these guys are out here going ahead and volunteering their time to do this. But, you know, come on. Figure it out. The Knights got on the board quickly. 2 minutes, almost 3 minutes into the game, they got a power play goal. But 3 minutes after that, just about 3 minutes after that, Logan Kanz, who's been just an offensive house of fire, gets his fifth of the year. Jakobsen, third time's a charm. Jakobsen and Cameron Recchi on the assist there. Then Jude Curtis on the power play. His fourth of the year. Kanz and Hampus Rydqvist on the assist. Rydqvist with 21 assists so far this season. Nothing in the second, but things devolve quickly late in the second. Now, Braden Stannard got a slashing call. Rightfully so. It was kind of a late hit. And then things just barreled out of control. Zach Curry got into it with Stannard. Both guys, you know, circling down. They both, you know, get to a fight. Fisticuffs, fine. That's fine. Whatever. Curry gets the extra two for or extra 20 for aggressor. But afterwards, I'm not going to say Stannard's an angel here because he kind of wasn't. After they fall to the ground, Stannard kind of got him in a little headlock, gave him a couple shots there. Like he were the Macho King Randy Savage back in the 80s. And then just Curry just starts pummeling him in the back of the head. All the while, one of the referees was just standing there looking at it. The Black Bears have footage up on their Twitter that the referee's just standing there letting this go. I understand that there's other fracases happen. Lincoln Hatton got into it with Thomas Jarman. Both of them got Das Boot. Bryden Sinclair and Jordan Strand got into it a little bit there, and the linesmen are breaking that up. But after the linesmen break it, hell, the other referee was helping breaking up fights in that fracas, while this other ref was going ahead and just looking at Zach Curry pummel Braden Stannard in the back of the head, doing nothing about it. And it's a injustice to the system. If you're going to have four refs out there, why wouldn't you go ahead and try to break something up? I mean, they already lost the game in terms of control, and then this happens. So it was like I said, cluster truck, and that's the way it went. The second period was wild. Then in the third period, Logan Kittleson, after a lovely, tasty dish by Kyle Oleksiak, just served it up on a self a platter. Kittleson gets his third of the season, and Oleksiak and Kanz on the assist there. Then Anthony Mastromonica gets a butt-ending major and a game misconduct on that one. And then Beck Moore gets a slashing call, and that puts the Black Bears on a 5-on-3. And then boom goes the dynamite. Hampus Rydqvist with a power play bomb from the point. Logan Kanz, Jackson Starrett on the assist. And then Luke Mountain, after that goal, said something to Beck Moore, I guess, and he got a 10 and tossed. He got a 10, and then since there was only like 4 minutes left in the game, got a little the hot water in the shower going. And then with 15 seconds remaining, Reed Leibold gets his fourth of the season from Rydqvist and Aiden McDowell on the power play. And that's all she wrote. 5-1 in a game that devolved into just wackiness. 3 goals in the third for the Black Bears. 3-for-4 on the power play. Power play clicking on that day after it kind of fizzled out on Friday when they went 0-for-5 there. But an all-around great weekend. Andrew Takas, 19 saves on the winning effort. Black Bears giving up 40 shots in 2 games while administering a boatload. 76 shots on goal for the weekend. Everyone had, I mean, that second game, you really could see Reed Leibold take control of this game. I mean, Philip Jakobsen had some great plays there. Cameron Recchi, towards the end of the Saturday's game, was trying to take over just by his lonesome there. Logan Kittleson had a strong weekend. Everyone up and down, another strong showing by this team. This team did a hell of a job to win this and take home a fifth straight win overall. Not only that, taking over third place in the East Division. Pretty dang good right now. They're 6-3-1 in their last 10. 5-0 win streak. They are, I'm looking up and down here, only Amarillo and Aberdeen have better streaks, and those are two of the top teams in the nation. So Maryland coming together just fine. Kind of stinks the holidays up, but maybe a little rest will do them pretty good because they're back at it again. Back at home, so they won't have to travel, which is really good considering it's, hey, it's New Year's. Hey, you're back. Hey, game time. So awesome, awesome work. They sit currently third in the East Division, 3 points clear of fourth place Wilkes-Barre, and more importantly, 4 points clear of fifth place Maine. And they have a game in hand to the Nordiques, but they have one game more played than Wilkes-Barre. So that's something to look forward to because it seems like it's New Jersey, Johnstown, and then everyone else is fighting for the middle. So we'll see how that goes about there. But a great weekend overall. You can't go wrong with a sweep. Can't go wrong with five straight wins. Can go wrong with silly things. Referees kind of letting things go. What can you do? It is what it is, as people like to say. But when we're on the topic of Black Bears, let's talk about their season so far. They just crossed the halfway point. 60 games in the season. They're in game 32. And looking at their stats, everyone's contributing top to bottom. They have 13 players with at least 10 points or more on the season. Everyone, 27 players, even players that aren't there anymore, have points in the games. Guys who are still rostered. Michael, I don't know if it's Mikkel or Michael Gonchar anymore. The NAHL changed their spelling of it. Misha is what they like to call him, I guess, in the locker room. He's got 2 points this year, so that's where it's at there. But overall, like, this team has just been stellar. I mean, we can talk about the Swedish elephant in the room, but we won't. We will hold off on that until we get official confirmation. But looking up and down, Jackson Starrett, 14 goals, 15 assists. In 32 games, Hampus Rydqvist, who has been just fantastic on the power play, leading all Black Bears with 12 power play points, 3 goals, 9 assists on the extra man, including a shorthanded assist. Jackson Starrett, back to him, 3 shorthanded goals for him this year. Braden Stannard coming really to fruition, almost kind of like a Luke Mountain player last year, really picking it up as the season goes along. 8 goals, 15 assists. Logan Kahns has had a year to remember. 5 goals, 14 assists for the captain of the Black Bears. And you mean, look at it, last year he only had a goal and 6 assists, and he crushed that. Overall, like, even in his entire seasons in the NAHL, which was only a couple because he played for Cooley Region before they dropped down to the NA3HL, he had only in his career in the NAHL, he had himself only 2 goals and 8 assists in 62 games played, 32 games already, 5-14. The work is paying off, and 3 game-winning goals. So there's that as well. He leads the Black Bears with that, which is fantastic on the back end. Luke Mountain being very serviceable, hasn't had kind of the flash that we've seen, but he is a second-half player. We will hope that he gains that traction going forward. I don't see why he wouldn't. Kyle Oleksiak has been stellar when called upon. Ethan Heideprim has been very great in the dot. Philip Jakobsen has been okay. Aiden Bruich has turned it around after kind of being unnoticeable for the first little bit, trying to get his feet about him in the NAHL game. It's come on the last couple weekends, just been stellar. Jude Curtis, kind of the same thing, a spitball guy, or a spitfire guy. Cameron Recchi becoming a spitfire guy. Aiden McDowell, a very solid guy back there on the point. Reed Leibold, perfect kind of forechecking player. Logan Kittleson, same way. Right place at right time for both Leibold and Kittleson. Thomas Jarbin has been very great on the back end. Not too fancy offensively, but that's fine. He's going to be more of a stay-at-home kind of player. That's what you're going to do. Andrew Reimer has been great in the dot, right in that bottom six role, just rolling along things. Bryden Sinclair also has been stellar on the blue line. Garrett Sidlowski has been pumping in goals at very crucial times, especially on the power play. I would love to see more out of this kid come in the second half. Jack Hillman's been injured, kind of hard to get a gauge on him. And also Michael Gonchar, Mikkel Gonchar, Misha Gonchar, with a goal and 2 assists in his very few, a goal and assist in his very few games here at Maryland. Goaltending-wise, I mean, there's not much you can say about this because the goaltending has been pretty stellar overall, when you look at in comparison to what was there last year, Andrew Tackus and Cooper Black have been a great duo. Black 6-3-2 on the season, 261 and a 914 on that with one shutout. Tackus took a little to get the wheels going for him, but I think the main series was a big turning point for him. 9-9-2, 299 and a 903 for that. And yeah, I mean, this is a huge, huge weekend, a huge, huge end to the year for the Black Bears, and it's only going to get better, folks. So gear up, get on that bandwagon. There's plenty of room for everybody, I'm sure. And we will see this into 2020, what they can do. And hey, who knows? They might surprise a few people here and there. But can you imagine a Johnstown, Maryland first round playoff series? All the bloodshed. All the Tomeo stuff. All the Nets coming off the moorings. Can we talk about that? Can we talk about Nets coming? Maybe later. But there's that. We'll now go to the Team Maryland. They are in a Christmas break as well. And hasn't been stellar. I forgot they had games this weekend too. So let's get to that. I go to the Black Bears stats, and the midweek games are what kills me. The midweek games kill me every time. So I apologize for forgetting all of this, but it was a not a great weekend or a great week for Team Maryland. They dropped to the New Jersey 87s 2 games, 4-3 in a shootout on a Wednesday. You know, it was kind of a back and forth game. Maryland looked to hold it and then kind of let it slip away towards the last half. Connor Ball got it going late in the first period. Jay DeRuiter and Cody Rumsey on the assist there. Nothing in the second and the third. Cody Rumsey on the power play from John McDonald and Tristan Mock. And then Tristan Mock put him up two with an even strength goal 11 minutes in. And then New Jersey gets two minutes and 32 seconds apart to tie it up. And then in the shootout, it's all she wrote. Jersey scored on both of theirs. John McDonald, Jay DeRuiter missed on that. Zach Richards, 35 save in the losing effort on a Wednesday. And then on Thursday, not a great time either. 7-4 defeat there for the Team Maryland. Just didn't seem to get things going early, and that's when New Jersey struck. 5 goals in the first for New Jersey, did them in. Tristan Mock got Team Maryland on the board in the second from Jackson Dobick. Jay DeRuiter with a power play goal from Mock and Rumsey. Then Roy Grisham early in the third trying to claw back on the power play from McDonald and Mock. And then two straight for the 87s before Vincent Maurice gets an even strength goal from Jeff Redman and Kyle Nepesny. And that's all she wrote with that one. Zach Richards, 36 saves in the losing effort. 7 goals against was in there for all of them. So a tough way for Team Maryland to end out. They had a bit of a streak going, and now they are streaking the wrong way now, losing 7 straight games. Not ideal for a team like this, but you've been going so good. You're going to have a hiccup in the season. Luckily, the break came for them at a perfect time as they sit 4th in the Mid-Atlantic Conference, 1 point clear of the Philadelphia Little Flyers. At 14-15-3 with a -4 goal deficit there. For the team, Tristan Mock, who was a late addition to this team, coming in leading the team right now with 19 goals, 17 assists for 36 points, 4 power play goals, 8 power play assists, 4 shorthanded goals, and 2 shorthanded assists. So this guy's a special teams legend. Dennis Arkhipenko, who is representing the Ukraine over in the World Junior one tier or 1A championships, or he was 10 goals, 16 assists. Cody Rumsey, 6-16. Jay DeRuiter, who had a hot start to the season, kind of simmered a little bit, still at 11-11 on the season with 7 power play points and 3 shorthanded goals. Jeff Redman, 6-15, 2 power play goals for him. John McDonald's been coming on a little bit stronger as of late, 4-15 for him. Jackson Dobick has been very consistent as well, 5 goals, 14 assists. Captain Evan Green, 4 goals, 13 assists. Connor Ball's been a very good scoring machine. Almost seems like he wants to be in the running for the Cy Young Award at 10-5. Nothing wrong with that. Bobby Guyer, we shouted his name out a lot here. So would Evan Donnelly. Roy Grisham, also very Cy Young-esque with 8-4. With everything going on there, goaltending has been, I guess, probably the Achilles heel for this team. Not that they haven't gotten stellar goaltending every now and again, but it just seems somewhat inconsistent. The defense as a whole hasn't been keeping a lot of shots away, as they've been facing 900 shots on the season so far. Zach Richards with a .907 save percentage, but a .322 goals against, where Peter Solis with a .446 goals against and an .869 save percentage. So Team Maryland, things could be better, sure, but they got a break at the right time, can reset. They played a lot of games in a little bit amount of time, and they'll play a home-and-home, kind of. They'll play Saturday Saturday evening at Philadelphia, and then they'll come the next weekend, January 10th, back home finally for their first game in forever. And then, of course, then Sunday and Monday they have showcase games. So the showcase games are the damning thing for this team. Like, they never do, it doesn't seem like they do great in the showcase games, so we'll have to hopefully break for that. And then they got, like, and then they the rest of their season's at home. They literally play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like, 6 straight weekends at home. It's egregious. So go out and see some Team Maryland action. Cheer them on. They play a lot of afternoon games, too, so if you're hanging out in the afternoon, go check that out. That's a good time for all. Before we move on to the club team stats, I will tell you this right now. I'm getting these off the ACHA website, so if you have a problem with the accuracy of it, blame them, not me. Thank you. That is my disclaimer, and me relinquishing all rights for to be ridiculed, at least in this part. Other parts, sure, ridicule the hell out of me. But we'll start with the Stevenson University men's D2 team, and it's been an interesting go for this squad. Obviously, the last few weekends, they had a little health scares, so that puts them at a disadvantage. For the past few weekends, they had a good time over in Germany and Austria, but that caught the health scares. Here's hoping that clears up for the second half of the season for the sake of the players, the student-athletes, rather, and secondly, the team. I mean, obviously, the health and concern of these gentlemen are top-notch, and then they can worry about hockey after that, but they only have, as I'm looking here, 7 games left in the season. The schedule so far, I mean, they haven't been too terrible. 7-10-0, like I said, they kind of last couple weekends haven't been great. Much better than last year, 6-17. So they've already reached a high for team wins here. But obviously, Coach Ergo wants more, and I can understand why. So looking at the roster so far, Mark Bowen with a 20 points leading the team, 7 goals, 13 assists. Ian Malone leading the team in goals with 10 goals and then 16 points on the season. Brian Hodges, 5-8. Brandon Scholes with a 7-4, leading the team with power play goals and 4 of which are 4. Thomas Fauchene, 6-4. Brendan Jesse, 5-5. Joe Kittleberger, 2-8. Josh Watterson, 3-5. Gary Matok, 3-4. Aaron Revenault with 1-6. Val Ramage, 2-3. Pierce DeShenko, the goaltender, with 3 assists this season. Dylan Candela with 2 assists on the season as well. Eric Bennett with a goal. Jake Vance with a goal. Kenneth Burkhart, Trevor Hunt, Skip Carter, and Daniel Tregovov all with a single assist. Goaltending-wise, Pierce DeShenko is the guy in net. 4-8-0, 4.34 save percentage, or goals against, and an 8.83 save percentage. Marcelo Palacos, 1-1-0 with a 5.25 goals against and an 8.57 save percentage. And Javis Shahady with a 2-1-0 record and a 8.40 save percentage there. Things looking up for the Green Horses. Hopefully, when they get better, they'll be able to continue what they were started in the early going. With the University of Maryland, trying to get any stats of them is really hard. I'm not going to lie to you, whether it's the ACHA scheduling, whether it's their lack of updates through social media. They have probably one of the worst social media games ever. But, you know, getting stats out of them is kind of hard, so it's very hit and miss with them when we do it. But we do know one thing. Chris Bouchard is no longer with the team, and he was their leading scorer with 24 points. That leaves Liam Eden there as the overall top guy. 10 goals, 13 assists for him with 2 power play goals and 3 shorthanded goals as well. Griffin Connolly after that with 4-10. Evan Yamaguchi, who started off hot, got a little injured, it looks like. He's only played 8 games for this team with 9 points to show for it. Andrew Amick has gotten hot as of late. Thomas Murphy and Matthew Kremen as well. Cole Muster, 2-4. Tyler McAvoy with 2-3. Nathan Hefner, 1-2. Jacob Pilsner as well. Jetson Koo also been very noticeable as of late with 3 assists going down the line. Goaltending, Adam Childs has done his best. 351 save percent or goals against, 863 save percentage when he's thrown in there. Matthew Derry, 280, 505, and an 859 with that. Move on to that to the United States Naval Academy D2 team, and they started off pretty hot, and then I don't know. It's another team where the scheduling hasn't been kind to them, and it's just very weird. And also, I don't have stats for the last 3 games. Thank you, ACHA, for that. I appreciate it. Neither do I have that for any of the games they played in North Carolina or Virginia. So that stinks. So these stats are very incomplete for the Naval Academy D2, and I apologize, gentlemen. Kevin Harris leads the team as of right now with 10 points in 8 games. Jack Martinson with 3 goals and 4 assists. Tom McGowan with 2-2. Ian Coyne with 2-1. Nicholas Gallup with 3 assists. Cameron Dean, 1-1. Maxwell Schumann, 1-1. Luke Ostrowski. You know, as a fellow Polak, I would think I would get that, but no. 1-1. Garrett Hamilton, 2 assists. Jack McLaughlin with 2 assists as well. Goaltending-wise, Skippy Sheldon has been under fire. 680 goals against, 2-6-0, and 850 save percentage. Nick Gordon in relief roles, 370 goals against, and a 778 save percentage. So only 2 appearances this year for Nick Gordon for 32 minutes. So no record there for him at all. We'll switch over to the Navy women's team, who have been pretty good this season. They have been shaping into form in a big way for themselves. Already just kind of being on last year's peak, but a little bit better, it seems like. They're getting a little bit more favorable bounces their way, and they only have a handful of games left, all at home. So we will see the guile that they have moving forward. But looking at it, Maggie Madigan has been the leader of this team on and off. 17 goals, 10 assists, 4 power play goals, and 1 shorthanded goal as well. Devin Marshall right behind her, 11-6. Rose Gasper, 10-6. Lauren Power, 8-7. Brooke Gauthier with a 5-7. Quinn Ramos with 2-9. Michaela Stangle, 1-10. Taylor Sparks with 4-6. Aaron Schaefer, 4-3. You see this very, very, very uniformed kind of scoring here, getting points from everybody involved in this lineup here. Goaltending-wise, Shannon Hart and Julia Chenoweth have been fantastic. Both under 2.5 goals against. Shannon Hart with a 2.11 goals against with a 6-4-1 record. 1 shutout, a 8.97 save percentage. A little low because they're not seeing many shots. Chenoweth with a 2-1-0 record. 2.31 save percentage. Both their wins are by shutout and an 8.22 save percentage there. Moving over to the Loyola women, who have been in a heated battle with the Maryland Terrapins women's teams for the top spot in the DVHC. DVCHC. I forgot a C in there. How about that? Their schedule, again, they only have a few weekends left. It looks like 4 games slated starting back up, and then it's playoff time right now. Missing results from the West Virginia game, but as of right now, Sophia Theodore with 20 points in 9 games. 13 of those points are goals. Jessica Chico, second in goal scoring with 12, but third in points with 15. Catherine Wilk with 6 goals and 11 assists. Kelly Shaw, 4-6. Hannah McKenzie, 4-4. Anna Soek with 1-7. Mary Sullivan, 3-2. Abigail Carlson, 1-4. Julia Pardo, 0-3. And then Madison Acker with 1-1. Goaltending Grace Lunder, 4-3-0 with a 286 and a 917. While Courtney O'Connor, 2-0 with a 1 shutout, 267 and an 855. Save percentage there, and we mentioned the Maryland Terrapins here, and they have been a wrecking for us. Now, I will preface this by saying, if you go to the DVCHC website, they really, really don't put all the goals on there. Alex McKillop has 31 goals this season and 44 points. Eleanor Van Vranken has 11 goals and 15 assists. Angeline King, 16 goals and 9 assists. Amy Murren 6-11, Victoria Ludwig 8-8, Anya Gandolfo 9-3, Mel Merritt 5-7, Isabel Sarcolo 6-5, Laura Zhang with 2-9, Emma Weil 3-7. Just diversified scoring all throughout the lineup here. And goaltending, Megan Bentley and Riley Chadwick have been very well. Bentley 6-4-0, 4.74 goals against, and a 7.96 save percentage. Riley Chadwick 1-0, one shutout, but a 7.50 goals against and a 6.61 save percentage. Kira McGinnis only a 2-0, but she hasn't played in a while. 1.88 goals against, a 9.22 save percentage, but she has not played in quite a bit. So here's hoping if she hasn't graduated yet, if she's not injured, she gets back on the ice soon enough. Move over to Towson, who, again, their schedule has been marred with inaccuracies in terms of what's been going on and what's been recorded. They only have two games left, against West Virginia. And they have – ACHA website hasn't updated the stuff, and they haven't even put in their scores from the DVCHC showcase. So it's been a rough year. They only have one win this season, and obviously it's tough for a team that used to be division champions, now kind of resetting themselves. Kelsey Leone with 4 assists leading the team. This incomplete roster, or this incomplete stat sheet, mind you. Bree Mullen 2-1. Emily Sellers 2-0. Carly Campbell 1-1. Kayla Daly 1-0. Not great goaltending wise. Catherine O'Malley 0-7-0. She's been a trooper. 9.78 goals against. 8.14 save percentage. Kate Standish 0-1-0, 7 goals against, and a 7.20 save percentage. So Towson in tight, but a rebuilding year is always good for some people. Reset and then go from there and move forward from that. Let's get to some players before we end it out. Only a couple players to talk about because everyone else is on semester break. Sam Annis, goal and assist on Wednesday against the Stockton Heat as the Iowa Wild start to truck along, get going there in the AHL. Adam Varga gets on the board with an assist on Friday against Oshawa, while Eric Sweetman gets an assist on Saturday against Norfolk. Varga and the rest of the OHL is on winter break, and there's no break for the AHL and ECHL, minus like the week they get for Christmas and New Year and stuff like that. Even just Christmas, not even New Year. So that's it for the players, and that's it for this year. That's it for another calendar year of Chesapeake Hockey Week. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you very much for joining me every week in and week out. And next week's going to be interesting. Well, next week there's going to be nothing. And then after that, I will be live from Piney Orchard Ice Arena in beautiful Oldington, Maryland. As going to go see the Black Bears. The kind of the reason that kind of kickstarted this this show to get going. Jen HL History Girl and I will hang out, go out there, go to Oldington, hang out, see the Bears. Go up to see Stevenson's D3 team. Go to Navy. Maybe go to Laurel. Be fun time. Maybe hit everything except Ice World. That would suck. We'll see what we can do, Ice World. But that's it. That's all. Thank you all for joining me. Hope you guys have a happy and safe New Year and a happy and Merry Christmas. That's it. Check out the Facebook page. I'll do all that plug right now, but I have to say take care of yourselves and someone else. This has been the Chesapeake Hockey Week. On the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction, brought to you by Blog Talk Radio, Twitter, Chesapeake HW Pod, the Facebook FOHS Radio. Johnny's pictures from this weekend are up. It's awesome. Go check them out. And then Instagram, FOHS Radio as well. So check that all stuff out. And all stuff out? Good work, Scott. You're an English major. I'm kidding. I dropped out of college. That's it. That's all. You guys have a great, merry holiday Christmas. Put a natty bow on that tree there, hon. Take some rest, and I'm back to Clutch and Crab Hockey in 2 weeks. Merry Christmas, there, hon. Go see 34th Street for me. Love you all. See you next week in 2 weeks' time.